Abby. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We are back with our next episode. This one, our last one was about Taylor Swift, and I think this one is very much going to be about Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. Yeah.
He's been the most prominent in music news lately,
I would say. Yeah. Obviously, I have my biases. I'll say that first, but I'm going to, try to be as objective as possible, when we talk about what has been going on with him, which is, all mainly positive stuff. He's just putting out content.
Yeah.
And then we'll go into our opinions, of course. That's why we're here.
Okay. So we can start with when he dropped the 2020 announcements. Yes.
So that was Christmas Eve.
Right.
Which was super exciting for me. He had been counting down to it, just saying 2020 for a while. And then he dropped, three dates. He said Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and January 3rd. And at the time, we didn't really know what any of them was. And it was funny because at first he just said December 24th and no time or anything. So I assumed it was midnight.
Right.
So me and my sister stayed up till midnight to see if anything would happen. And then at 12:10 a.m., he was like, oh, noon. And I was like, thanks, good night. So.
Oh my God.
I was really Boo Boo the Fool in that moment, but it was fine. It's not like I was going to go to bed before midnight anyway. But then, at noon on Christmas Eve, he dropped a video that was basically just a lot of information all at once. It was new album, new docuseries, new tour with the tour dates. I'm going to go broke because he's doing stadiums and I want to see him a few times if I can.
Yeah.
I probably can't, but I'm going to try. I've already dropped a lot of money on him this year. And, he just said, more information to come. Oh, yeah, and then he announced Yummy, the new single, is what would be on that January 3rd date, which makes sense because it was only, Friday in the mix. So, of course, that's the day he would release music. So it was basically the first Friday, in 2020 was when he said, I'm going to drop this single. And if you recall, we talked about on the last episode how we thought that first single would be called Yummy, and we were right, so how could we have guessed it? It's not like he was tweeting it all the time,
right? Right. So, everyone started the new year. The music industry goes on hiatus until about Monday this week that anything was really happening, so it was kind of a big deal because no one had anything else going on.
Right.
So, a lot of people have been talking about
It was definitely, the first big release of the decade. It couldn't really have come any earlier in the decade, which I just think it's really cute because 2010 was a big year for him.
Right.
My World 2.0 was a huge album, obviously, and a huge tour he went on that year. So I think it's kind of cute that it's, the 10-year anniversary of that, and he's kind of going to try to recreate it. It's obviously different. We're all 10 years older, but I'm mainly excited for the docuseries. That's exciting.
That I thought was really interesting because he doesn't really post a lot about his life.
Yeah, he doesn't. He posts the dumbest shit.
He'll post a lot of stuff that's funny and memes, but he never posts really about his life. And even getting pictures of him and Hailey together only happen when they're paparazzi photos, really.
Yeah.
So I think that it'll be interesting to actually see their dynamic because we're only seeing the one side.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. People try to fill in the blanks a lot with what he shows because it's not much. Mainly what he had been posting in that whole 4-year drought was just stuff about Jesus.
Right.
Honestly. So that's a whole other thing. But he was posting guided prayers every day. And I was like, I don't know what this is, man, but I love you. You're so I'm going to give you a
I'll do religion, but whatever.
I'm like, you, not for me, but you go. And so you're absolutely right. I mean, now he is going to be, taking the narrative back and filling in the blanks with the truth instead of just, what's being made up. And he also revealed recently that he has been suffering from Lyme disease for the past 2 years. And I think he said chronic mono. I didn't know that was a thing. But I think what my sister said was that the symptoms of Lyme and mono are pretty similar. It's like fatigue and stuff like that. So I think maybe it was just a little cute little crossover of horribleness.
Well, I've had Lyme disease and I haven't.
Really?
So when I was little,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when I was little, I was bit by a deer tick, which is how you get Lyme disease. And usually if they catch it, you just take antibiotics and then you're fine.
Yeah.
But if they don't catch it and they don't treat you,
it doesn't go away.
Right, exactly. So I don't know the status of, like, when they caught it with him, but I think that's the idea is that he's going to go into detail in the docuseries. I think that was one of the things he said he would address, which totally makes sense because that's hard to address just on Twitter or on Instagram. You kind of need a bigger platform to get into something really nuanced like that, that's, like, medical. So I think it totally makes sense that, you know, he was off for 4 years, so regardless of what happened, he kind of would want to talk about it. I mean, he got married in that time. Right. Like, there's a lot to talk about, so.
I'm interested to see when they started filming.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's been so long since he's done anything that I'm wondering how the timeline plays out when they started filming it. And then you're going to see him completely change as he goes on. And then that's when, once he got married and he got all religious for that little bit, you know, you can see the difference.
Yeah, my guess, this is completely just a guess, but my guess is that they started filming, like, summer or fall of 2017, because that's when he canceled his stadium tour, which I had tickets to. It was, like, the second leg of the Purpose tour, and the first leg I had just seen him at an arena. He was doing arenas in the U.S. at least, and then for the second leg, he was set to do stadiums, and he released a whole line of, like, stadium merch and then ended up canceling it because of his own mental health, he said, but maybe that's when he first was, like, diagnosed with Lyme. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's what it was. It wasn't just mental health, but physical health, too. I don't know, but we're going to find out. But in the trailer for the docuseries, which dropped on New Year's Eve, there was Allison Kay, she's the president of SP Projects, and she was prominently in Never Say Never, which is how most of us know her. She said, like, wow, I was so surprised when he decided to cancel the tour because touring's his favorite thing, so that made us really worried. And so when she said cancel the tour, that made me think summer 2017. So that's, like, my guess. Maybe that's not when they started filming, but that's maybe when the narrative that they want to tell starts.
Right, because that's when he kind of goes into that blackout period.
Exactly, yeah. He finished, you know, the European leg and, like, worldwide leg, like,
it'd be early. Kind of cool if they 17. Go into Drew and talk about,
I would love that,
how that's, because that's, like, a really big business for him and a really cool secondary side hustle,
and, like, we talked about, it's, like, such a popular thing now with, like, Beyonce and Ivy Park and, like, obviously Kanye West been doing it,
Rihanna
so I think they will address that because Ryan Good was also featured in the trailer and he is the one who is, like, the partner in Drew. He's, like, they kind of do all the designs together and stuff like that.
They're
so
cool. I want a hoodie, but I can't justify spending, like, $200.
No, me too. Everyone knows I live and breathe JB, but I don't have any Drew stuff because it's not only is it so expensive, but it sells out so fast.
It does.
And the cheapest thing he's ever sold are the slippers, and they go in, like, a tenth of a second.
It's,
like,
kind
I've
of
tried.
Like Supreme.
Yeah, I was thinking it's a lot like Golf Wing. Like, yeah, same thing. I would always try to buy a Golf Wing hoodie, and it's, like, $80 and also sold out. So I'm like, I can't even be pissed, but I am somehow.
It could be interesting if he sells that at on tour.
Yeah, I think he will. Merch. I think he will at least do some, like, kind of items for sale that That'd are, like, cool. a Drew collab. I would love that, yeah. I would definitely rather buy it, like, at the show because shipping is so much. I don't know what it is, but I bought, like, 3 or 4 of the signed CDs. Don't judge me. They were only $3 a piece, so I was like, that's not a lot to get a signature. I mean, I already have a signature twice, but it's not a lot. And then literally the shipping was more than the freaking product. It's okay. Like, I still support him in every other way. I bought the single on iTunes. I didn't even remember my iTunes password. I had to do some sleuthing to get in there. And obviously, I've been streaming it nonstop.
Well, I wonder if they'll do the bundle like they did with Harry.
Yeah, for the album.
I got the album with my tickets.
I'm absolutely sure they'll do that. I don't have a doubt in my mind. They'll probably do merch bundles as well. I mean, that's pretty common practice now for major label artists specifically. I'm excited for all of it. And to talk about, you know, Yummy specifically, which, like we said, came out January 3rd, the simple answer is I love it, but I always will say that I'm biased because I just love his voice. Like, to me, that's my favorite thing. It's like, I don't care with Ed Sheeran, like, everyone noticed, like, after I listened to, everyone was like, this is a Shape of You rehash. And I was like, oh my God, it is. And I don't like it, you know, the first verse when Ed is singing, but when Justin's voice comes through, it just takes me back to like the first time I heard it. So I know I'm biased. So yeah. I'm going to basically love anything he puts out because I love his voice so much, especially after like not really getting new music for so long. It made me really love it. But, but yeah, he's going in the R&B direction, which I love for him because that's what he's always wanted to do. He has said since he was like 15 years old, like, one time just came out, he was like, yeah, eventually I want to start putting out R&B music, because he was discovered on YouTube, obviously, doing covers of Usher and Chris Brown and Boys to Men. Yeah. Like, he's always loved R&B, so I think now he's at a place in his career where, like, he's kind of doing the thing where he doesn't care as much about, like, what's in or what's trending or whatever. He just wants to make the music that he wants to make, and I think that's pretty cool. And Journals was his last like R&B influence project, and I love Journals. Who doesn't? I mean, Journals is like a fan favorite. On Stan Twitter, everyone's talking about Journals. Like, in the meantime, they're like, oh my God, this R&B Bieber sound is getting me all nostalgic for like Journals, what's your favorite track? And everyone's like talking about it. So I think it's fun, the direction that he's moving in. It's obviously like very repetitive and catchy, but shit gets stuck in your head, you know, and that's really good, like, radio bait. It's good, like, for Spotify and TikTok, so I think that's pretty smart. Yeah.
It's gonna become big on TikTok, I can tell.
Yeah, and he created a TikTok account right before it came out. Yeah.
Just for it. And the one thing I will say is that it's hard to say he's moving R&B because R&B is pop anyway at this point.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, in that sense, it's almost like, what do you define as R&B? Like, do you... Because some people group it with hip-hop and some don't.
I don't.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I don't think I do. I think what I don't think that Yummy was a an R&B single.
Yeah, no. I think it's just got a little bit of that flair.
It was very pop.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
But I think it's hard because pop right now is moving in the direction of R&B and
that's the thing. It's like, how do you know what pop is when pop is constantly moving?
It's just popular
moving.
Music, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say my opinion is that I get it was very catchy.
Right.
But it wasn't my favorite song.
No, absolutely. Look... we're all about opinions here. I'm never going to disrespect anybody's opinion. Like I said, I'm biased, so I already know that, like, probably no one's going to love it as much as me.
Right.
That's fine. But yeah, no, that's a really good point. I just think if you compare it to, like, Sorry, for example, it's less pop. You know what I mean? It's still hooky. Like, it's still catchy.
It's still very repetitive.
Right.
And it's still very, like, it gets stuck in your head as an earworm. But I do think that the beats behind it are very pop right now.
You think so, yeah.
And I think that back when Sorry came out, it was pop
That's true.
So
I guess
it depends on the time things are coming out.
You're pointing out that, like, pop is a moving target.
That's a good changing. Point.
Totally, yeah.
It was really funny. I was listening to Barstool's Chicks in the Office.
Right.
And they were talking about Yummy, and both of them really liked it. And then they had Trent, who's one of the guys in the office who does different radio shows.
Gotcha.
And he goes, the song's about cannibalism. And Rhea and Fran were both like, no. Like, it's very much about Justin Bieber eating out his wife.
Yeah, it's a very sexual song.
And he was like, no. And he went lyric by lyric and read the lyrics out and was like, yeah, it's like when you're eating someone. And we were like, yeah. Everyone listening.
Think about
like,
that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
it was kind of, that was so, I laughed so hard.
Yeah, that's really
that.
Funny. That's really funny. I was watching one of those stupid, Teens React or whatever. I wasn't even watching it. I just saw a clip and they were watching the video itself, and in the video he's just like at a table like eating all this crazy food, and someone was like, I like that he could have gone in such a gross direction with the visual, but he kept it kind of PG and is just sitting and like trying on an old man's glasses and like making silly faces, and then he gets up on the table and dances. And I was like, that's a good point. Like, you know, it's almost like it's, I don't know, like, I guess I don't want to say it's not overtly sexual, because it pretty much is, but he's, like, handled it in, like, a very...
I think it's hard because his fans grew up with him.
Exactly.
But he also has younger fans.
Exactly, yeah.
So
which is a problem we constantly see with Ariana and Taylor. Like, that's an ongoing thing.
The same thing kind of happened with the Jonas Brothers.
Sure, absolutely.
Because they were big when we were young.
Absolutely.
And
we were
all,
like,
huge
9.
Fan.
Yeah.
But now that we've grown up with them,
yeah,
we understand what their songs are about
right,
now on this new album. but they have younger fans that are discovering them
exactly as new. Because they still are, you know, again, catchy, hooky, easy to get into, and young people like that. So
yeah, I completely understand.
It's a hard line to walk.
It really is.
It really is. But I think so far Justin's doing a good job. Like, he's actually always been pretty, like, in his music, pretty tame. Because I remember, like, when Purpose came out, for some reason all his fans were just being really immature. And they were like, why are none of the songs explicit? Like, we want explicit songs. I mean...
Well, then you alienate part of your fan
base. I mean, it's just, it's not like you're going to be like, oh, this song, what do you mean? It's so good. It's a number one hit, but, like, let's add a curse word just for fun. Like, if it's not natural, it's not natural. Yeah. Like, that's just trying so hard to put something in. I mean, it's the same thing with, like, when Taylor Swift cursed for the first time and I did something bad, people were freaking out. I'm like, y'all are acting like you're five-year-olds who have never heard a curse word before. Like, can we please... reel it back in, so I don't care about that.
It's 10 times easier for a song to be played on the radio if it's already clean.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Lizzo on the radio is upsetting. I know. Love her. I ride or die for her. But listening to any of her, like, Truth Hurts on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
When she had to re-record bits that they just put in there.
Yeah, and it sounds so cringy.
And it sounds so cringery. Weird.
Yeah. So, that's why I don't listen to the radio, honestly. Spotify yeah. all day. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Especially, like, when I listen to the hip-hop station, obviously cursing's, like, more prominent there. Yeah. It's, like, it's very frustrating. They play half the song, basically, and then cut the rest out. Because every other word is, like, I don't know, that annoys me.
It confuses me. But I will say, people have been very vocal. We'll move into this part. People have been very vocal on social media about Justin posting... a post about how to get his song to number one, and a lot of people have a lot of opinions on it.
Me included.
Right, and I also have opinions on it, and my opinion and Nicole's opinion are gonna not be the same in this instance.
Well, listen, let's just say I basically spent the whole week, like, thinking through all of it, because the more he would say, I want this number one, the more I kept thinking, okay, this isn't going to end well. You know, he wasn't really thinking it through, I guess. And, but I didn't think it would become this, like, widespread. I thought it would just be, like, within Stan Twitter, people would, like, drag him, which they are. But it's kind of become, like, more widespread, and I was really surprised about that, because, I mean, I guess I'll just say... my piece is that, I mean, that post that he put up about how to get Yummy to number one, it was fan-made, and he was, like, basically just thanking the fan and saying, like, how great are my fans. That is, like, a really positive way of looking at it, you know, and it's very, like, you might hear me talking and go, okay, that's such bullshit, like, she's just saying that because she loves him, and maybe that's true, but, like, come on, there's so much hatred in this world already. Like, let's look at it from a positive angle. Like, I totally understand, you know, how people would be like, oh, the desperation thing. But, I mean, y'all are just bored. Like, making these fucking memes and, like, making fun of him for, like, now saying that he has Lyme. Like, people are bringing that into it. That has nothing to do with it. They just want to be mean and make fun. So, to me, it's like, can't we just be positive? Like, can't we just be like, okay, he wants a number one. Who doesn't? Like, Lizzo really wanted one, and everyone was like, oh, Lizzo really wants one, like, which is great to me. It's like, yeah, Lizzo wants one, I want one too, we all want one, like, we all want one for our faves, like, it's a really amazing thing to have, and he has five of them already, and so, I don't know, it's like, weird, it's like, once you show you want it, that's, like, bad, you know what I mean? Like, that's my piece. Obviously, now is your turn because we value each other's opinions.
Right. I think that it's completely valid to want that achievement.
Right.
I think that Instagram is not the place to post it.
Right, right. That's what someone made that point, too.
Because
I saw. That's a good
when
point.
You post things on Instagram, Instagram's completely different than Twitter. And people take things a lot more lightly on Twitter. And when you post it on Instagram, it did look very desperate.
That's the thing. I don't think he understands the difference. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that's such a good point. That is a big difference.
And as a digital marketer, I completely understand.
Oh, yeah, completely.
But it did come across as very desperate.
Right.
And
that's what people are mean. That's the main consensus. I'm just trying to be devil's advocate.
Right, no, I get it. And I just feel like when you have a really good marketing team, you shouldn't have to be doing that. And when you have fans that are as supportive as Justin's fans, you shouldn't have to be doing that. That's
Yeah, no, that's completely valid. I saw somebody make that point too, like oh, it would be cute if it was, like, an up-and-coming artist, like, being like, we're in this together, but not him. But I don't know. To me, it's like, how can you... And you're not saying this. I mean, yeah. Other people were saying this. How can you say the song's a flop, but then also say, oh, he doesn't need to, like, do this? I don't know. So you're absolutely right that yeah. it looked weird on Instagram. And I saw it. The second I saw it, I was like, it was one of those moments where you're like, oh, honey, I love you, but what are you doing? Like, yeah. you're just setting yourself up for failure. So I'm just trying to be the, you know, the one positive voice to just be like, you know what? He's just excited. It's his, like, comeback. He's always been very competitive. He always talks about that. He said in an Instagram story, he was like, I'm not going to be mad at you guys if like it doesn't go number one, I don't really care. It's just like, I can't help but try. Like, let's give it the old college try, which I don't know. To me, it's like, if anybody else did that, it would not be conceived that way. It would not be looked at that way. I mean, obviously that's hard to say because
I think it's all hypothetical. The caliber of artist that he is.
Right.
It's the way that people are saying, if Taylor Swift did that, people would have been like, what are you doing?
Right.
If he did that, if Drake did that, people would be like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. You know,
just these, he kind of did do that and people were like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, so when you have an artist that's at the caliber that they are, right. it feels very desperate to be saying to the general public, to the millions and millions
of people who don't understand what's happening.
But yeah. it's just the way that it was. I think that if he interacted with a fan on Twitter
right.
and was more
that's true. Twitter genuine is about the it, place, yeah, Twitter's to the place interact. To
and I
yeah.
think that as an artist, you kind of need to understand where your fans lie.
Right.
And I understand that he might have more followers on Instagram, but a lot of those followers, it's a good question.
I'm not even sure.
But the followers he has on Instagram are different.
Absolutely.
Like, I follow him on Instagram.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I don't follow him on Twitter.
And, you know, Instagram is more visual, so maybe people followed him to see wedding pictures or something.
Well, his visuals are really funny because he took
they're ridiculous.
He took that part out of the music video when he's, like, falling.
And yeah.
And they photoshopped it into different pictures.
Yeah, I know. That's just him being a dum-dum once again.
It's funny.
He's very silly. He's very, like, you're right, he does have more Instagram followers. I just right. checked.
He has
like
124 million.
And he has 107 million on Twitter. I mean, it makes sense. It could just be that, like, Instagram has become more popular. But yeah, it's a visual place. He's a good-looking guy.
Or when he posted all these pictures of babies, people were like, what is going on? Which is fair, because I also was like, what is
okay,
going on?
Okay, but, like, he's always said he wanted kids, and he thinks kids are adorable.
No,
and
I
see people posting all the time. People post cute pictures of babies, and they go, oh, my God, I have baby fever. To me, that's the same thing. It's just, for whatever reason, people are just.
It was just kind of random that he's posting all these random
pictures
of random
kids.
But the thing
is, if you followed him for 10 years like I have, you would know that's not random at all for him. You know?
I'm just taking the status of the general public and everyone.
Absolutely.
Was kind of like,
and
is this single about babies?
That it is not. He's always wanted kids. Like, he said, I want to be married by 25 and then I want to have, like, a million kids. Like, he's always wanted a big family. He's always loved kids. Like, he always wants to, like, hold babies at meet and greets and stuff, and it's so cute. The fans love it, you know, we're like,
yeah.
You're so cute. That's all it was. It was just that, you know, there were more eyes on him at this moment, so that means more space for negativity, and obviously it's going to get, like, misconstrued. But I think to, like, kind of cap it all, I think of something that you said, Abby, when we were talking about the Taylor and Scooter beef, which is that at the end of the day, even if it's desperate, people are talking about it.
Right.
And there's no such thing as bad publicity. I think that's a nice positive way of looking at it. You know, you hear about the desperate thing Justin Bieber did and you say, well, I gotta hear this single, and you stream it. So maybe that's the secret ploy underneath all of this. I doubt it, but
it's
something to keep
talking,
in mind. People are talking, you know?
Exactly. And all press is good press.
Exactly. So just something to keep in mind. If you cannot fathom why I would be defending him in this situation, that's something to keep in mind. You know, his name is on your lips still. And that happened at work. People were talking about him. And then they, like, after that, they went to listen to the song. They were like, I got to see what this is all about. And whether they liked it or not, I don't really care about. But it's, you know, don't be uneducated. Don't be saying this is a bad song without listening to it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, try to be positive. There's so much hatred in this world already. We don't really need any more of it.
Right.
Try to look at somebody and put yourself in their shoes and say, huh, I wonder what they're going through right now. And try to fact check as well. People like to spread lies.
That's fair.
Yeah. So let's get to it.
We'll move into the next part that I want to talk about, which is the festival lineups that came out.
Yes, I was going to say that was basically the other thing that happened, like,
right, so
around the same time.
Coachella had announced the headliners
right.
A while ago.
I thought it was, like, rumored.
Oh, maybe.
People were like, oh, Frank Ocean is rumored to play,
yeah.
And I was like, no way, and then
I
saw it.
Now, I'm looking at their Instagram right now, and I don't actually see anything.
I think it was just rumors got around, which kind of makes sense. It's the most high-profile, you know.
I will say festival. That I was not impressed with this lineup as much.
I completely disagree.
I think it was the best one.
It's just about your taste, you know?
Yeah, and I think that the smaller artists that aren't really smaller,
right.
I just wouldn't want to go see, and I don't really care about Travis Scott.
Yeah.
And I don't really care about Rage Against the Machine either, so I feel like it wouldn't be worth me paying all of that money to go all the way there for one.
Yeah.
For Sunday,
I mean, I don't want to,
you know?
I don't want to go. Period. Like, I don't feel
really
like
don't want to be
I hate I don't like flying and being in hot places, and so I have the same, like, issue with every festival lineup, like, big and small. I've only been to one festival.
I've never been to a festival.
It honestly, like, it killed me. I don't have the stamina. You would be good to go. You'd be, like, strong,
yeah.
And stuff. I was, like, suffering. I was, like,
well,
I'm dying.
I was, so, the company that I work for does packages at Coachella.
Oh, that's right.
I was doing guest services stuff with them, answering questions, and I was talking to one of the project managers that's in guest services, and she was telling me that she went to Coachella and was doing guest services work there, and that the people just weren't that nice, and and there was a lot of things that people just are very entitled at Coachella, it seems like.
Ooh, that's no good.
Yeah.
Like, you mean the attendees?
Yes.
Yeah. That kind of makes sense.
Because she was working at one of the hotels. So
gotcha.
She got to go to the festival first, one or two of the, like, big headliners.
Right.
But I think the people that I really like, that I would have wanted to see, would be Charlie.
Taste.
Kim.
Taste.
And that's, like, it for the
Okay,
Friday.
So, well, here's my thing. Like, I was going to say my issue with festivals is that it's always, like, a handful of artists that I love and would die for. Like, my absolute favorites. On here
yeah.
are four of my favorite artists literally of all time, but then everybody else I do not care about.
But
Frank
then,
Ocean is my favorite artist of all time.
Right, so.
Nostalgia Ultra is my favorite album of all time. Rounding out the top three are Channel Orange and Blonde. So,
right.
It's hard for me to look at a lineup like this and see him as the headliner, and mind you, he does not make public appearances.
Right.
So
that's
it's a,
why it's
big,
a really big deal.
It's a really big deal. And I genuinely considered going, like, just Sunday, just for his set, and then leaving. But
yeah.
Obviously I'm not going to do that. But, like, I don't know. In another life, if I was rich, I would, maybe. Like,
yeah.
if I had endless time and money. And
Sunday lineup is not good besides the headliner.
Literally just Frank. Yeah, exactly. And obviously, like, everybody, you know, everybody else on here has, like, their own fan bases. Like, the Lana Del Rey fan base, huge.
Ugh.
Daniel Caesar, huge. Like, people do love those artists. And, you know, for someone, this is their dream lineup. But, like, for me, it's the same issue as it always is. It's a handful of my favorite artists. It was the same thing with, like,
yeah.
with GovBall last year. It was Tyler, the Creator, Charlie XCX, and Kacey Musgraves all on different days.
Right.
And
but
instead, I just went to see all their concerts individually.
That's
then
fair.
Then I'm good. The thing
I
is,
will,
Frank doesn't tour. But
I will say, I give a chef's kiss to the Bottle Rock lineup.
Yeah, see, that one is
that.
I'm not as into. Like, again,
Red
it's the
Hot
same
Chili,
thing.
Okay, but Red Hot Chili Peppers, Miley Cyrus, Brandi Carlile, Foles, Local Natives, Phineas, Milky Chance, all on the same day. Muna on the same day. Atlas Genius.
Oh, I didn't even see the day-by-day breakdown yet.
Yeah, that's probably all. That's, like,
that's
a ton
cool.
on Friday. I'd see Stevie Nicks headlining Saturday. Excuse me? Stevie Nicks, Khalid, Maggie Rogers.
Wait, isn't Maggie playing? Yeah.
Yeah, Maggie's playing.
Maggie for you is like Frank. Like, once you see Maggie, you're like, boom, I love this lineup. Like, no question.
Stevie Nicks is incredible. Khalid,
yeah, that's amazing.
Maggie of Monsters and Men. I used to love of Monsters and Men. Max is really good.
Yeah.
Twin XL is okay. And then Zed Dave and Matthews Morris. Band. Anderson .Paak and the Free Nationals. Zed, the Avett Brothers, Marian Morris.
Ooh, Janelle Monáe.
Yeah.
I don't know if you said that already.
Matt Nathanson, John Bellion, the band Camino, like Hobo Johnson, all these amazing people are in the Bottle Rock one.
To me, it's like I would just like to pick Miley, Brandi Carlile, Maggie Rogers.
Every
like,
single day. This is probably the best. I wish if I wasn't broke.
Yeah, exactly. That's a mood.
And it's in Napa, so you get like good wine and good food. Are you kidding?
True.
It's so good.
If you had to pick one to go to, yeah.
Yeah. And then what? Bonnaroo
came out. I'm pretty sure that was the other one. We do, those are like the three big ones that have come out.
Yeah, so we do stuff for work. We do stuff with Coachella and Bonnaroo. So I did the Bonnaroo one, and that one's
Miley's also doing
better than Coachella, personally.
Miley,
the 1975, Young the Giant. Megan Thee Stallion's there, so everyone's going to be going
that's
for that.
True. That's
Glenn
a good
and
point.
Stella, Wallows are all in the same day.
I think it's just about your taste. Like, for me, Miley is the only one I would want to see.
Tones and I, so we can hear dancing.
Bye. Do not like that song.
No, that song's awful. Lizzo.
You're like, yeah, no.
For the Saturday, Flume, DaBaby, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Shouts to ATO Records. I love you guys.
King Gizzard is on this and on
Coachella, right?
Coachella, yeah.
I know. ATO's all over these lineups. I love those guys.
Yeah. Tame Impala is a really big, big one for
Of course. That.
Tame Impala, Vampire Weekend, Leon Bridges.
Jason Isbell on the 400 unit. I worked his campaign with the Orchard.
I think that this one's better.
Yeah, I think it's just about your taste. I mean, four of my all-time
favorites.
This one's
graduation weekend, so it's not like I go anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. People are very, people have like mixed feelings. Something interesting that I heard someone make a point about Coachella is that it's like the first year in a while when they haven't had a big pop girl headlining. It was Gaga, Beyonce, and then Ariana.
Right.
So that's interesting that they're kind of reverting back to their, you know, Rage Against the Machine, a rapper, and Frank Ocean, who is kind of genreless.
So I guess they're hitting it all.
Yeah, but are they hitting the female demographic?
Not at like, all. That's I was very disappointed.
All the genres, yes, but there's not a lot of diversity.
I honestly was hoping that there would be a female, and I was hoping it was Lizzo.
Yeah.
Because I love her, and I think she puts on a really great show, and I think Coachella would be a really good stage for her.
Oh, I think she'd kill it. I definitely think. Is she not on the lineup at all there?
No. And I'm wondering if it's in the radius clause that she can't headline Bonnaroo.
I guess.
Because she's headlining Bonnaroo.
Yeah, because there are artists that are playing both, but they're not headlining either. So that could be,
So I'm wondering if that's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely would love to see more females on the lineup in general and as headliners in general. Obviously, that's like an ongoing issue. Every year, I'm like, okay, it's 2020. Like, it can't be the same thing again, but like, somehow it is. So it just makes me wonder, you know, what is actually going to warrant change.
That's a shout out to Ibby for her single.
Shout
project.
Out to Ibby.
One of our friends that's in our program is doing a project about how women, I think it was Bonnaroo. She's using as the.
Or I think it was Lala, actually.
Oh, it was Lollapalooza, and how women weren't shown to the fourth line.
Right, exactly.
Of that lineup, which is insane.
It's like, I absolutely was thinking of her project as well as I was reading these lineups because it's such a prominent issue and it goes beyond, you know, festivals. It goes to just one-off concerts and stuff and just working in the music industry in general.
Right.
So it's obviously a really important issue. We talked a lot about feminism on the last episode, but it's never a bad time to talk about feminism.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of feminism, I just want to give a shout-out. I've been really listening to Ava Max lately, not Sweet But Psycho, but her other songs. She has I put two of her
Which
songs.
One?
Salt is really good. I put that in a spin playlist.
Nice.
And then I also put, I'm looking at my Spotify right now, because I made a bunch of new playlists for the new year.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And I put On Somebody.
Ooh, I haven't heard that one.
It's really good.
I'll check it out for sure.
Yeah, so we'll give a little do you have any new music to share this week now that I just did? On Somebody's her newest release.
Oh, okay. Besides Yummy.
It came out December 30th.
I've been, like, actually going back and listening to a lot of albums that I love but haven't listened to in a while. My Everything by Ariana Grande. Slaps. I forgot how hard it slaps.
That came out a long time ago.
2014.
Yeah.
I recall it very well. Be My Baby. Are you kidding me? They don't make music like that anymore.
Oh, my God. Did you listen to her live?
Yeah, her live album was good. Oh, that's right. We talked about that a little bit, too.
I didn't really listen to it, because...
I listened to bits and pieces, you know, it was hard. It's hard to, like, sit down and, like,
it was on my New Music Friday, so I listened to what was on my New Music Friday. And then
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, there's the posthumous Mac Miller release.
Oh,
there was,
yes.
Single is Good News.
Yes.
And then the album is coming later this month. I feel the same way I feel about other posthumous releases. It's nice to hear the work, but it's pretty sad to know that
right. It's
mainly being put out for, like, profitability
purposes. And I understand.
So
there was
it's just the way it is.
His family put a statement out on his Instagram saying, we are releasing this in his memory.
Right.
It's been, you know, it's been in the works, and the producer really wanted to put it out to honor him.
Yeah, it's a pretty cynical view I have.
He worked so hard on it, which is... fair, but also your point is also fair.
Right.
Where I'm sure
you didn't really have to convince the label. They were probably like, okay, we're down. Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, it's a business. They got to make their money somehow. That's totally fine. But it's just something to keep in mind while you listen to it. If that is true, like what his family said, that he would have wanted it to come out, then I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But once you get into these artists who have passed,
like Michael Jackson.
A while ago, you know what I mean? Like Michael Jackson or like Prince. I guess Prince didn't pass that long ago, but like 4 years. But further away you get from it, I think the less certainty there is that they would have wanted this to come out.
Right, I'm thinking the sample that Drake used of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, and I mean there was also like Love Never Felt So Good with Justin Timberlake in like 2014, 15 something. Yeah. I'm kind of making that up.
And I'm also thinking about now Kygo remixed Higher Love.
Exactly, yeah, that's another... but good example.
The other thing about that is that's just bringing cataloged content back. So
yeah, sure.
That's
yeah.
fine.
Right.
Whereas actually taking music that's never been released before.
Yeah, exactly. It's a big difference.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And from working at Legacy, the Michael Jackson estate is very, very difficult to handle because the woman that's in charge was one of his closest friends.
Absolutely, makes
sense.
So
she will not do anything that would... do any harm to his name.
Yeah.
So I respect that.
Yeah.
Right, so I do believe that anything that came out for him is he would have wanted it to come
out. Yeah, that's a good point. You kind of know that there's a little more certainty
right, and
there.
I do feel like with Mac's family, I don't know how close he was with his family, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know either, yeah.
But I do feel like if they're okay with it coming out and if they're okay with his memory being, you know, with people remembering him that way, then I think that, you know, you do what you do and... It's a nice thing.
Fans
were very happy.
Yeah, is this an inappropriate time to flex that I sat next to them at the Grammys? His parents.
No, you can flex. We can talk about how we're gonna
really
talk about
sad.
The Grammys next week on the next episode.
Yeah, so Grammys are like 2 weeks from tomorrow. We're recording this on January 11th. I was talking about this with my parents. The Grammys are earlier this year.
They are earlier
because
this year.
I thought it was because of the Olympics, and then my sister made a really good point. She was like, the Olympics, it's Summer Olympics this year, so how would that conflict with the Oscars? Because the Oscars took the Grammys weekend. So we read the Oscars' like whole-ass Wikipedia page about the whole history of when they want, how they moved the show around, and it used to be late March, and they moved it because it conflicted with like college basketball, like March Madness. All eyes were on college basketball and they lost a little bit of viewership.
Right.
So they kind of moved it up and then it was at the beginning of March for a while. And now they just kind of like took the Grammys slot, like the second week in February after the Super Bowl, such a great slot because it's like in between football and baseball. And like,
I remember it being right after.
It's always the week after the Super Bowl.
And I thought that it was really early. This year.
Oh, absolutely.
And last year it was early, too.
No, last year it was. I'm pretty sure. I mean, it was the second Sunday in February, which is like what it usually was. But I guess the Oscars were just like, we're going to take that now. So good luck.
Oh, my God. So we'll talk about next week a little pre-show.
Pre-Grammy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah
I guess we'll do predictions and hopes for
Right. And then we'll debrief
awards.
After. Obviously.
Yeah, we'll discuss what we think.
We'll discuss what we think.
I think
who wins.
I think, is it I think it's Rolling Stone that always does, like, who should win, in your opinion, and who do you actually think will win.
Or does Pitchfork do it?
I don't know. I know. I mean, it's a common thing. I'm sure multiple people do it, but but I think we'll do a little format like that where we kind of do who we want to win versus who we actually think will win, because it is rarely ever the same. Except for last year when I wanted Kacey Musgraves to win and she did. Still deserved so much. I'm so happy about that. And it's gonna be good. It's like my favorite time of year personally.
Yeah.
To talk about music.
So let's get to it.
All right, so we are going to add in our interview right here with Jackson Neal. He is a podcaster over at Temple. We interviewed him back in December before we took our break.
Yeah, he's a really awesome guy. It was great to talk to him. He has 3 podcasts. One about sports, one about music, and an interview podcast. So he knows a lot about the format. We learned a lot from talking to him, and we hope you guys enjoy our conversation.
All right, so we're going to get started. We have Jackson here. He's a podcaster. He does 3 different podcasts, which kind of blows my mind. Do you want to talk more about yourself so I don't do it?
I mean, yeah, I guess 3 different podcasts. One's a sports discussion, one's like a music discussion, one where I talk to like writers and stuff, and then one's Anything Goes, which has been mostly musician interviews, but I'm working on in 2020 to make it more broad range, like comedians and actors and other things like that.
All right, that's awesome. Really cool.
Yeah.
So how did you first get into podcasting?
When I was younger, I always wanted to like be on ESPN. It's like my dream to do that. And then I had this buddy who told me about this website called Blog Talk Radio. It's like an online radio thing. You could host your own like online radio show.
Oh my god!
So just like a podcast.
Yeah, so it was like before podcasting really was like becoming big. It was like this might have been like 2013, 2012.
Right. Wow. So definitely before the boom.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right before the boom or whatever. So like the online radio show was like, oh my god, that's insane. So I did that for like a while, and then eventually like transitioned over to podcasts, I guess about 2 years or so ago.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah.
All right. And you decided to do like 3 different shows basically. How'd you come to that?
Well, so about 2 years ago, so like March 2017, I was taking classes at community college in South Jersey, and I had a radio show on their, you know, I decided to have a radio show on their station, and it was like, okay, well, we have an FM signal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I have an FM signal. I could like email artists and they might come on my show because they won't know it's a community college radio station.
Right.
So I'll just email them. And like people started responding and like artists were coming on my show. And it was like, I didn't want to just broadcast it on the FM signal because I knew like it wasn't that big of a signal. It wasn't that far reaching in terms of like wattage and everything. So I just made it into a podcast. And then that was how the Anything Goes started. And then like the sports and music ones, I just like to talk.
That's why we did this.
So like those are my more like, I guess like I can actually voice my opinion rather than just interview someone else.
Mm.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I'm just curious about sports. You talk about all sports. You have one specific one that you, or is it by season?
It's just kind of more like, I guess like the biggest topics.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always been a really big college football fan.
Nice.
There's like a lot of like, you know, material with that.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's kind of like whatever I think is just like a big story, like that's going on. That's when like college basketball started. I brought on, you know, Mike Rutherford. He, you know, covers college basketball, and it's like that was an in season, preseason kind of thing. Like, okay, this is the new thing that's happening right now in the sports calendar. Let me talk about it. So.
Yeah. Who do you root for?
Okay, well, I go to Temple University, so I obviously like those teams.
Oh, okay. But what about for like, I'm thinking MLB.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm really into baseball. So
okay,
so
I'm really into baseball too. That's like the only major sport I have like a favorite team in, and I'm a huge Phillies fan. Like insane.
Very cool. I'm a huge Yankee fan.
See, like 2009 tore my heart out. So
yeah.
So basically, that's what we're dealing with, I guess, right now.
Yep, I guess so.
Going to be a tense interview.
Yeah,
oh
but anyways, let's not even go there. let's talk about the music podcast.
Yes.
Who are some of your favorite artists that you like to talk about?
Mm. That's a good question. Recently, I talked about Rex Orange County because his new album Pony. I mean, I was just like getting really, really into that one. I mean, obviously, I guess, like, the big names, you know, like, when Kendrick Lamar drops an album, like...
You're going to talk about it.
How do you not talk about that?
Totally.
But I think there's also some other artists who, like, do really cool things and, like, maybe doesn't get, like, the recognition or something. Like, Rhapsody, I guess, is a good example. Like, mm-hmm. She's been nominated for a couple Grammys, and, like, I think I had a podcast where I talked about her album, Layla's Wisdom, and, like, you know, what she's mm-hmm. been doing. So I guess it's, like, you got to cover the mainstream people because, like, everyone has an opinion on those albums because everybody listens to them.
Right.
But also, like, other artists that you think are doing something cool that maybe not everyone's listening to, but people still are interested in. Like, the Rex Orange County one's a great mm-hmm. example. Or I've had Donna Claire Chessman on a couple times. She had that Year of Mac series mm-hmm. on DJ Booth that, like, had a really, like, strong audience of people. Like, I'm a huge Mac Miller fan. I'm always listening to artists. It's, like, so it's, I guess, like, finding those, like, subgenres as well as the overall.
Yeah, totally. We're trying to do that too, I think, you know, do music news, but also get into our own opinions, whatever they may be, whether they're mainstream or not. So that's really cool to hear.
And out of, like, you were talking about people you've had on, do you have a favorite guest you've had?
So I saw this question you guys emailed us over. Yeah. I was thinking about it. So
maybe like a most surprisingly interesting or insightful guest or something.
There's been a couple pretty cool stories, I guess. Like, so I had Rhapsody on once.
Okay.
Yeah, I had Rhapsody on right
That's so cool.
when Layla's Wisdom came out. Like, I had this buddy who told me about the album. And like, it was funny because I was in high school at the time. Because I was taking community college classes and high school classes at the same time. So Def Jam gets back to me, like, we can only do the interview, like, Monday at 2:30. And, like, school ends, like, at 2:45.
Yeah.
So I skipped my last class of the day
to go do this
interview with Rhapsody. That was kind of funny. But, but the coolest... And then there was also, I interviewed Lil Xan a couple times, and he was getting really big.
Oh, God.
Interesting. We had a great conversation about Mac Miller's early mixtapes. That was a fun one. But the number one one is I had this guy Bacon on. He produced credited on production about half of Kendrick Lamar's Damn album.
Oh shit.
Oh my God, that's one of my favorite albums.
So he was telling me about how he met Kendrick, and it was like mutual friends, and then he gets hit up one day in New York, and all of a sudden he goes over to Kendrick's hotel he's staying at, and he just like watch kung fu movies for like
Kung Fu Kenny.
For like
it all makes sense.
And then all of those sayings in the album, like what happens on earth stays on earth. All like anytime you hear those like little like sayings pulled out, what Bacon would do is he would have these long long conversations with Kendrick while like Mike Will Almeida would be like producing a beat, and he would record all of these conversations, go back and listen to it, and pick out these lines that Kendrick was saying.
But that's sick.
So like that's where a lot of those like lines came
from. Those are so important to the narrative. Okay, one of my favorite podcasts, Dissect. They are dissecting.
I haven't listened to the new season, but I love that podcast.
They're dissecting Damn right now, and I'm obviously so shook. I'm always shook by what they do. But those little inserts of those lines, they're actually really important to the narrative. Kendrick said he was almost going to call the album "What Happens on Earth Stays on Earth."
And it's like those little like lines, like. Came from like these hours of conversations, and you would think they just like, oh, maybe he just thought of this randomly. Like,
right.
No, it was this 2 hour long conversation to like this idea of spirituality, and like this producer was like, this line is incredible, Kendrick. What do you think? Oh, it's, you know, let's put on the album.
That's so cool.
That's the number one story. That's like the story.
Oh
I tell
yeah.
So, that, like,
oh
yeah.
Did you meet him and do you interview with him?
No, I do a lot of my interviews over the phone and everything.
Right. Was it the same thing with Rhapsody?
Yeah, because it's like I'm from Ocean City, New Jersey.
Okay.
So as you can imagine, I'm not really near. I was never really near a lot, but a lot of artists are coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Now being based out of Philadelphia, I can meet up with some artists like at their shows when they come
through.
Right. Which is a lot nicer. Obviously that in person thing rather than over the phone. But I mean, I'd rather get that story over the phone than not get
absolutely.
It at all.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like
still a really cool thing to just even say that you interviewed some of those people regardless of how. So
exactly.
Awesome.
And it's also like a skill in order to develop like talking to someone over the phone. Like, because
we don't,
no one does that anymore. But like,
I'm really bad at that.
I was terrible at it. Like, I wouldn't want to like order from Domino's over the phone. I'd like make sure to do the app. But like, you know, when you do a lot of interviews over the phone, you get
And it's harder too because we're sitting in like three people right now and you can play off each other's, you can see your body cues and you know when someone's going to finish speaking, but on the phone you don't have that.
Yeah, and facial expressions.
Facial expressions.
Such a good part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. So have you had any other guests on, like, your sports one that are very notable? We'll dip into that a little bit.
Sports one.
That could be your favorite, but we won't say favorite if you don't want to put a label on it.
That's a good one. I would say that one, I had Brian Mears on. He's from the Action Network, which is this kind of new offshoot sports website that focuses on betting mostly. Mm-hmm. And I've sports betting is becoming really, really big.
Yeah.
I never really was, like, raised around people that bet. So, like, right. I'm really new to it, I guess. But it's becoming this huge thing in sports media. And I had him on. We did this, like, 25-minute conversation about, like, betting on the NBA each day and, like, how to do that, how to read the lines, how to, like... Mm. And it was just, like, really interesting, like, daily fantasy as well. And just, like, looking forward to the season. That's, like, I guess a recent favorite.
Mm. It's interesting. So you feel like you learn from your... guests, essentially.
I try to bring guests on that, like, can give me a different perspective. So, yeah. Like, whenever, like, something's going on with the New England Patriots, there's this guy, Josh Brogadier from 5ABC up there in Boston. And, like, he's around the team every day.
Right.
He's in the locker room. He goes to the practices. He sees every minute of every game, talks to the players. It's like, his opinion has a little more weight about the Patriots than mine does.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because he's around the team.
Yeah.
So, like, I almost bring him on to not only inform my opinion, but inform my audience and, like,
right.
get a better, well-rounded opinion. Like, this is somebody from afar looking at it, my shoes, but this is also somebody who's there every day, who's seeing the team, who's interacting with people.
Right.
Who knows really what's going on.
Right, that's awesome. And that's another reason kind of why we wanted to have you on here is because our research, we're dipping into how podcasts is affecting the music space and audio in general. So, I mean, you interview musicians a lot. Do you see that there's, like, a big impact from podcasting into the music industry? Like, how do you kind of view where podcasting is in that respect?
I think it's getting more respect mm-hmm. by musicians and, like, you know, PR people. Like, I feel like even, like, a year ago when I, like, just transitioned from not having a radio show to just a podcast, like, a lot of the PR people I was working with were like, oh, you're not on the radio anymore.
Mm.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. And it was like, but the biggest reach was coming from the podcast, from my interviews.
Right.
Right.
And even in the years since then, I noticed people are a lot, like, the same PR people are a lot more now accepting of podcasts as, like, a medium because... Look at the numbers. Look how many people are listening to podcasts.
Right.
It's like, I don't think it's really, like, caught up fully yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, you still see, like, when a huge mainstream artist comes out with, like, a new album, there's the big profile piece. It's still something, it's a piece. It's something
right.
written. I'm kind of waiting for that, like, I want to see that profile piece, but maybe, like, what if it was, like, a narrative podcast?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, rather than, like, this... couple thousand word write-up in Rolling Stone, what if it was a narrative podcast? It was still written, but it was just on a podcast medium.
Like a storytelling situation.
Yeah, I mean, I know Popcast, which is New York Times, and we both love that one.
I haven't listened, but I've heard of that one.
Oh, it's
yeah,
so good.
It's really good. They will do something like that where it's almost like an album review. I guess it's more of like a conversation where a couple people talk about their opinions. They really only do it for... big releases, like they
think
do it for every
most,
Taylor Swift.
The most recent one they did was for Lover over the summer,
right?
Okay, yeah, so like huge releases.
Meanwhile,
right.
they're writing, you know, album reviews
every week.
So that's a really good point. You know, that like they happen, they do those things, but only for big artists in certain cases. So it would be really cool.
Yeah, like I think The Weeknd's about to come out with a new album,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's. There is going to be the biggest piece on the weekend that's going to come out. The journalist that's going to get the most access.
Yeah.
The biggest write-up about it. Well, what if instead of a write-up, it was that podcast where you can throw in some, like, song lyrics here and there.
Mm.
Throw in the actual words The Weeknd was saying and, like, you know, have it in that kind of podcast
totally.
Format. I think that would be, I mean, as a fan of his or, like, any artist, I think that'd be a lot more immersive and cooler than just... reading something, even though reading something's great, like I love reading those articles, I think it could be either like a good compliment or even a good substitute.
Yeah,
so like
totally.
Dissect but cool leading conversation plus having The Weeknd comment on it. Could be something like that.
So it'd be like, there'd be an interview, but it wouldn't be like, my interview's like free flowing.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like, sometimes interviews are more chopped up and edited together to have a narrative structure.
Mm-hmm. Right. And to then, say, oh, we met at this photo shoot that they were doing. And then after we went to a cafe and talked and this is what they had to say about their new album.
And it's not just question, answer. It's like, okay, they just said like, we talked about the new album and then it's the Weeknd's comment on it. And
right.
A clip from Heartless because he just mentioned this quote from it. You know?
Okay.
The way that an article interjects quotes from the artist, it would be audio clips.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking more like Vox does Today Explained, and they do news each day, 15 minutes, and they do the news, and it's like you're reading a newspaper, but they insert clips from like editorial people explaining it.
Yeah, exactly.
So like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I can get behind that.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
And I guess it's like little ideas like that in like music that like hasn't been fully explored, but like it's gotten a lot bigger recently. It's gotten like a lot more respect, I'd say.
Totally. Yeah. Through our research, we found that Spotify and basically every other streaming service, they're investing in podcasting, and it's making them a lot of money. It's creating a much more viable, you know, business model because I mean Spotify as a case study. You know, they were struggling to turn a profit and they've had a lot of profitable quarters over, you know, the past couple ones that they've reported. And it really lines right up with when they've invested in podcasting. We kind of found through our research. So I think podcasting is so important as defining these companies that's not music streaming services, but audio streaming services.
I think you're right. I think the Spotify one is huge. And I think that like, with music, the cool thing is that people like have these apps like Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, these like streaming platforms. There's like these artist profiles. And I know Apple Music has like done this a little bit more with like their own like clips from their Beats One interviews, put it on the artists.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it'd be so cool if you like, you know, going on like a Spotify profile, like, and then you can see the interviews with that artist as well. Like,
right. You
see the album, but it's like also a section like, okay, interviews this artist did about the album. So people can go a little bit more in depth with it.
Right.
Totally.
I think Spotify was huge. I mean, I think it's even the Obamas are like involved with Spotify and like their whole like podcast.
Yeah.
They're going to launch like, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of big.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we keep getting these questions from our professors, like every term they ask us, where's the music industry going? What's the future of the music industry? And a lot of the time everyone is saying like, well, AR and VR is going to take over. No one's going to be interacting with each other. No one's going to do this, and this. But I feel like streaming is still a really viable option. And people are just thinking that it's just going to die out. Where if we keep introducing new types of content to it, it won't.
Yeah. It's not just there's not just one thing that streaming is. Like, oh, you press play and then the song streams. There's all these other ways that, you know, you could do it. Like you just said, having, you know, audio like interviews or album reviews on an artist page. I never thought of something like that. And as a fan, it's something I would love. As Spotify, I feel like if I worked there, I would say, yeah, let's do that. I think that's such a great idea.
Yeah.
And yeah, I totally agree. Like if a professor asked now, I'd be like, it's going to be streaming still, but it's going to evolve and become more nuanced.
Yeah. Like why isn't Dissect on Damn's page?
Right.
Like if you're a fan of Damn, you should be listening 1,000%, to that season.
Yeah.
You should be listening if you're a fan of Flower Boy.
You should listen to that because
that's a natural correlation. And if you're Spotify, that's more hours I'm on your platform.
Exactly.
That's more hours I'm listening to Spotify.
And there's plenty of cases like that. I know there's like a whole Kanye West podcast.
Oh yeah, so like it's like watching the throne.
So like they'll do one episode on like Jesus or something, and that could be like, if you like this album, you might like this podcast episode.
Yeah, I think there's a real like interplay between them, and I just don't think we've really like figured it out yet.
Right, because they are so interconnected. I know a big part of our research has been how to use music legally in podcasts and
how to do that,
and it's really tough. But we noticed on Anchor, you can add 30-second clips directly through the app.
Okay.
And put it in so that Spotify is like enabling you to use it legally.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there's got to be something more that podcasts can be connected more with music, because the way that it's structured right now, it's like they're two separate entities.
They definitely aren't
when it comes down to it.
Yeah, I mean, they're both audio. It's as simple as that. I feel like they're kind of in some cases acting like enemies, and really they should be best friends, because it's just, podcasts are a great way to promote music and vice versa.
Yeah.
So
it's like doing, it's like in the old day, you know, the, like previously you go on the, do all the radio stops. I mean, you still do that now, but also you do all your podcast stops. And as an artist, I mean, if you're spending all that time doing those interviews, you want people to hear them, right?
And hear them more than once.
That's
the truth, is you're going to a radio and they're only going to play it for what, maybe like 20 minutes at 4 p.m. And how many people are going to be listening at that time, where you can always go back and listen to it. I re-listen to podcast episodes all the time.
Right.
Podcasts, when I'm bored, turn that on. I'm like, here we go.
Then it's not as, I mean, and the cool thing about podcasts is not as confining as that radio interview.
Right.
It's not as like, oh, we have to fit it into these chunks because we need this many commercial breaks in between. And you're right, going back and re-listening to it, because it's like, in those interviews, the artist might like describe something about the album they think is really cool. They don't want like whoever is listening to the radio at that very second just hear it and then never be heard from again.
Yeah, and if they have a ton of fans, the fans are going to want to know, what did they say, you know, what did they say about the new album? Yeah, I noticed recently that I think Z100 Elvis Duran show in the morning, which is the radio station in New York, if you don't know, they have like a podcast page on Spotify.
They do, and they put their clips of the interviews, but not the whole radio show.
Right, exactly. Okay. So if they just like made that a podcast, which they definitely could in terms of like ability to just record it and save it and upload it onto, you know, all the places you listen to podcasts, I feel like that's a huge
Barstool does that.
Yeah.
So Barstool Radio on Sirius, and then they go and record a separate podcast. Because I know Chicks in the Office does radio, and then they'll go and do podcasts.
Right.
KFC Radio does radio, and then a podcast. Four Play Pod does radio, and then a podcast. So it's, in that respect, it's also very disconnected with radio.
I think like when podcasts first got started, everyone thought, oh, you just put your radio show on online. Right. That's all it is. And it's like, no, there's actually a lot more cool things you can do with the podcast medium. That like, maybe you shouldn't just put your radio show on there. Maybe you should like make unique content.
Yeah.
To like fit the what you can actually do with a podcast, because there are a lot more possibilities with a podcast than a radio show.
Totally. Yeah. Do you feel that with like maintaining three podcasts, it's hard to come up with unique content for each of them separately, or to juggle them all?
Yeah, totally. I mean, juggling them all, like, you know, this year I kind of slowed down recently because there's been some like family issues and like some personal reasons.
Right.
Like, you know, that's obviously going to be difficult. But I mean, in terms of like content, it's like, yeah, it is difficult, because it's like, I know in sports especially, the 24/7 like just talking head cycle, it's like, you don't want to, like, if everyone's talking about it, you feel like you have to put your opinion in there too.
Yeah, I feel like that just with social media.
But if everyone's putting their opinion in it, is yours going to be heard?
Right.
You know, so like, should you try to find something unique? But what if everyone's searching for this one topic? It's like, it's the constant juggle between, like, how do you balance being unique with also commenting on the issues everyone else wants to see?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
That's like a point about everything, like social media.
Yeah. How do you stand out but still be relevant?
Right.
It's like the 80-20 rule. That's what my mom always says. 80% the same, 20% different.
That's fair. A good rule.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like I said, like, we recorded a new segment yesterday, and then today I listened to a podcast, and it was, like, all the same things. And I got excited. I was like, okay, we're not, you know, we're not living under a rock. Like, we know what's going on. That's good. But then at the same time, I didn't even think of that next level of, like, okay, now how do we differentiate ourselves? And I'm hoping that will just be, like, our own opinions. Will differentiate us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's all the questions we have. Is there anything you want to add or help with our research along the way? Any tips you got for any up-and-coming podcasters?
I guess figure out what you want your podcast to be, like, as early on as possible, because, like, I just kind of, like, juggled, like, different ideas with my podcast a lot, and, like, sometimes it feels like, okay, well, I was going on this one road with it, and it was like, you didn't really want to do that, let me come back, and it's fine to, like, switch roads, because you don't want to, like, continue doing this, the one thing I don't want to be like this. But I think it's, like, my whole thing was, like, I just started recording like that. I was like, I want to do a podcast, let me just record an episode. Or maybe it would have been nice if I, like, took a second and was like, oh, wait a second, let me think this out a little bit. You know, if you listen to my podcast over the years, it's like, I didn't really have that great of an intro song. Then I really worked on the intro and the outro. And then I, you know, things like that leading into an interview, making sure I mentioned the same things in my intro and outro, writing the show notes correctly.
Right.
Those little things, I would say, think of those things first. Like, when you get the idea for the podcast, nail those things down mm-hmm. so they can become consistent. Because that's one thing I dislike about having that be inconsistent. Like, that great interview with Bacon, I want to recommend that to people. But it's also like I go back and listen to that podcast and it's not as polished
as I wish it was, as I can do today. Right.
And I know I was capable of that, but I just didn't take the second to think, how do I make this more polished?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In one sense, it's like a cool thing because it shows your growth. But mm-hmm. in another sense, I totally understand that of going back and cringing a little bit and being like, oh, why didn't I just do this one thing differently?
Yeah, like but... working hard's great, but you also got to like take some perspective at some point.
Totally.
Like, can we do this a little bit better so I'm not just beating my head against the wall?
Always try to be better. Always look back and say, am I doing this the best way that I can? I think that's really great advice.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. This is great.
What the what's next? Go and cash your bad checks. You bought a big hat, but you lost it. Cash in, cash out while you still can. So you waste time on your big dream, then you get scammed by a TV. Drop in, drop out, it's a good plan. Soft core summer tan, racking up. Gonna do next? Go and cash a bad check. We're down and out, baby. I don't care. I wanna feel like a millionaire. So let's get to it. Ain't nothing wrong. What's next? Go and cash a bad check. What's next? Go and cash a bad. Gonna do next? Go and cash a bad check. We're down and out, baby. I don't care. I wanna feel like a millionaire. So let's get to it. Ain't nothing wrong. What's next? Go and cash a bad check. What's next? Go and cash a bad.
Card, then use it. If you don't, no problem. Just have your checking account number ready when you call. Cash your bad checks.